Welcome. Let's get ready for worship. Would you join me as we pray together? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we humble ourselves before you today. You are Almighty God. Jehovah God, we worship you in your holy name. We worship you and thank you for your Son, Jesus. What a powerful name his name is. Lord, we glorify you today. I pray that you'll fill our hearts with your Holy Spirit and your power today to work and to do the work of the gospel and the kingdom of God. Help us to serve you. Pray that you'll bless each person that comes in today, each family. Lord, just ask you to do a mighty work in our lives today and draw us close to you. Help us to sing and pour out our hearts in praise. As one version of the Bible says of Psalm 145, let there be an explosion of praise. And that's what we want to do, praising you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand as we sing and worship the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Show it on your face today as Carson leads us.
The God who is, we worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors, he parted the raging sea. My God, he holds the victory. Yeah.
There's joy in the house of the Lord, there's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet, we shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise.
Oh, we shout out your praise. We sing to the God who heals. We sing to the God who saves. We sing to the God who always makes a way. Cause he hung up on that cross, then he rose up from that grave. My God, still rolling stones away.
There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise.
We were the beggars. Now we're redeemed by his grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise.
Lift it up with us now.
Cause we were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by his grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise.
There's joy in the house of the Lord today, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house
there
of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place, and we won't be quiet.
We're gonna shout out
your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise.
Oh,
we shout out your praise.
There is joy in this house. There
we shout out your praise.
Oh,
we shout out your praise.
Shout out your praise.
Amen. We don't do a lot of shouting around here. We shout about our favorite team on Saturday. We shout about our favorite team on Friday night. We don't do much shouting about the Lord. But I've been reading this week about different ways to pray, and one is a suggestion was to shout. So we're going to have a shouting time, and we're going to shout praise the Lord when I count to three. It's a little odd, I know, but I'm a little odd too. My daughters remind me of that quite often. Here we go. We're going to say praise the Lord, a shout unto the Lord, not just some little thing that Ken's dreamed up. But we're going to shout praise to the Lord. Use your voice this morning. One, two, three.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you for going along with me on that. Be your prayer today.
Open the eyes of my heart.
Lord, I want to see you.
Welcome this morning. Glad you're here. Take a seat, please. We are glad that you're here and part of our early morning contemporary worship. And it is Mother's Day. It is the day that we celebrate our moms. And so we want to make sure that we do that here at First Baptist Church, to take just a moment to make sure that we say to you moms how grateful we are for you and all that you've done and all that you do and continue to do, not just in our families, but in the lifeblood of this church. The women in the life of this church are a strong ministry here at First Baptist Church, and we're thankful for all the things that the moms do in the life of our church. All right, so all of our moms, if you would, please stand up. Moms, everywhere. I know these don't like doing this, but it's just tough. It's Mother's Day. You got to do it. Moms everywhere, stand up. All right, now, men, come down front and grab one of these roses and take them to all of our moms that are standing up. So, help us out. Moms everywhere. You got one too.
Yeah, I did.
I was just kind of hoping you would do that.
I told her that. I'm not.
I was kind of hoping you'd do that. That would be a good thing. What did I say?
You didn't say anything.
That's what you're saying. I get it. No, I'm with you. All right. Men's ministry, thank you for your help. And men's ministry, thank you for providing a rose for all of our moms today. And so thankful for our men's ministry, making sure that we recognize all of our moms. And so appreciate everybody doing that and celebrating this morning. Mom, we pray that you will have a wonderful day of celebration. All right, let's all stand, all of us stand, and welcome our friends. We're glad you're here today. Good to have you.
Up with us.
Who is like you? None beside you. My God, you're worthy. I will sing of it all my days.
Ushers, if you'll come. Father, thank you so much for the beauty of this day and for the opportunity that you've given to us as the body of Christ to worship you today, to trust you, to wait patiently on you, to hear your word, to guide us, direct us, to move us, to discipline us, to show joy in us. The gospel, the good news, Father, today. We're grateful for that good news. Thankful, Father, for our moms and for them celebrating you today. And Father, how we celebrate the life of Christ in them. Thank you, Father, for the love that you've given to us as the body of Christ. May we share that love with the world that is in need. That's why we give. We give because the world is dark and the world needs light. Thank you, Father, for that gift. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
The fatherless, they've
of God and man, you are high and lifted up. And all the world will praise your great name. Your great name. Your great name.
Jesus. The name of Jesus. There's power in your name, Lord. There's healing in your name. There's joy and peace, power, love, grace. There's righteousness and holiness. The Bible says you are full of grace and truth. And as we proclaim your name today, we proclaim that as well. And as speaking of proclamation, we pray for your servant Joel as he comes to lead us now, our pastor, and guide him, fill him with your spirit. Let your word speak to us today in our hearts and lives. Just guide him as he presents this message to us today. Also speak to us, let our ears hear and our hearts understand, our minds comprehend all your wisdom that comes from your word. And Lord, not only help us to hear it, but help us to live it each and every day. Help us to love one another as the body of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, praise team, for leading us this morning as we worship. Thankful for that. All right, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 40. I believe this is one of my mother-in-law's favorite passages of Scripture today. And she's here celebrating Janice's birthday and Mother's Day. And so this is one of her favorite passages of Scripture. So we're going to look at Nana's favorite passage today. Isaiah 40, 29 through 31. So today is Mother's Day. And what we're going to do is we're going to talk for just a moment about waiting. The blessing of waiting. I don't like waiting. Let's go ahead and get that out. All right? So I'm not a mom, but this sermon is as much for the preacher as it is for any mom or any husband or any dad or anybody in this sanctuary. And so I really do hope and pray that this is a good word, that the Lord will speak not just to moms today, but for all of us, because I certainly need a word from the Lord when it comes to the blessing. Not just waiting because that's what God wants us to do, but the blessing that God gives to us in the midst of waiting. Waiting has fallen on hard times in our modern world. We don't like to wait about or for anything. We are in a hurry in just about every area of life. Think about most of the technological advancements. Think about the technological innovations that have happened in the 20th and the 21st century. Most of those innovations are designed to cut down on the amount of time that we wait to get our desired goal. If the package can't make it to your doorstep in 2 days, why order it at all? Right? Man, I mean, we don't want to wait for anything. Overnight it. I remember several years ago, there was a part under our bed that had three cords to it. And one of the cords went bad. And so I found out that I had to call the manufacturer in Oregon in order to get this cord. Remember this, honey, this whole debacle. And so I had to order this cord. And so I called, they sent the wrong cord. They sent one of the cords, not the right part of the three cords, but they sent the wrong cord. So I called back and I sent that one back, and then they sent that same wrong cord again. Now I'm losing my ever-loving mind. I am impatient. Oh my goodness. And I'm losing all control of reality. Finally, I get in touch with somebody and I'm telling them, you keep sending the wrong cord. Send all three of the cords and I'll send the two back that we don't need, but just please send the right cord. And it's Thursday morning and she says, all right, I'm going to make this good for you. I'm going to send this to you overnight. And I said, oh, thank you so much. You'll get it on Tuesday. Everything that I had. Joel, remember, you are a Christ follower. See, in Alabama, overnight to us means what? Overnight. You'll get it. Are you going to send it overnight? Yes, I'm going to send it to you overnight, and you'll get it on Tuesday. We see overnight in Alabama. I don't know what it means in Oregon, but in Alabama, overnight means what? Over the night. Well, I am such an impatient person. One of my favorite movies is Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? And there's a great scene in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Everett and Delmar and Pete steal a car because they're running from the law. And that old Model T that they steal breaks down. And so the next scene, Everett, George Clooney, is standing in a general store and he's ordering a part, wants the part for the Model T. And the guy says, we don't have that part. I'll have to order it for you. It'll be here. I have to order it from Johnson City and it'll be here in 2 weeks. And he says, I don't want it in 2 weeks. I want it right now. Well, I'll have to order it for you, sir. It'll be here in 2 weeks. Well, while he's doing that, Everett has asked for some hair pomade. And so the guy puts some hair pomade on the counter and he says, I don't want fop, I want Dapper Dan. He says, well, I don't carry Dapper Dan, I carry fop. I don't want fop, I want Dapper Dan. And there's some language that you might have to work through at this point, but I don't want fop, I want Dapper Dan. Well, I don't carry Dapper Dan. I can order it for you and it'll be here in 2 weeks. Everything's going to take 2 weeks. And finally, Everett looks at him and he says, well, ain't this place just a geographical oddity? 2 weeks from everywhere. We don't like to wait. I don't like to wait on a part from Oregon. And Everett doesn't like to wait on hair pomade. We want it, and we want it now. But we live as the body of Christ. We live in the last days. And we've been living in the last days, y'all, for 2,000 years. When Jesus was buried and then resurrected and then he ascended to the Father, at that point we started the last days. And we've been in the last days for 2,000 years. And over the course of that 2,000 year history of the church, the body of Christ, there have been times where the body of Christ has just grown tired and weary of waiting for the Lord. And yet, we still wait for his return. And as we wait for his return, we live in this fallen world with struggles and pain and problem and difficulty and the miseries of living in a fallen world. Bert Parsons writes, we are by nature impatient, self-centered, and demanding. In our sin, we seek instant gratification, but in Christ, we are made willing to wait on the Lord. The more we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, the more we come to understand why he makes us wait. Waiting on the Lord, trusting in him in all circumstances. That is why waiting on the Lord is sometimes harder than obeying him. Waiting on the Lord through lengthy and painful trials can sometimes be so trying that we don't even have the adequate words to explain our heartache and our misery, even to those who love us most. Yes. Paul had more faith, I'm confident, than anybody in this congregation. And yet, with all of that faith that Paul had, Paul prayed three different times, Lord, remove this thorn, whatever the thorn was. Theologians have have tried to figure out that for 2,000 years. What was the thorn in his flesh? It doesn't really matter. But he prayed three times, Lord, remove this thorn from my flesh. But the Lord had something bigger and better for Paul. But the Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. It is often that the Lord gives, and the Lord also takes away, because He is teaching us to wait on Him, to lean dependent, learn to dependently lean on Him, namely Himself. So Isaiah understood this powerful truth. So Isaiah was speaking, waiting on the first arrival of the Lord to come. We now in the new covenant are waiting for the Lord to return. But Isaiah, differently than us, he was waiting on the Lord to come in the first place. And there, the God's children were struggling. Man, they were having such a painful, difficult time. And so Isaiah heard from the Lord, and he spoke from the Lord's mouth to his people. And Isaiah wrote these words. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired. Young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and they will not faint. 3 years ago, we looked at this passage of Scripture, and we looked at it from a totally different perspective on that Sunday. We looked at it from the power of the Lord, and then that power, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that same power of the Lord then has been given to us, to Isaiah, to Joel Samuels, to all of us who put our trust and faith in Him. Mark Dever says, believers will find that they have the strength and the endurance to face the trials ahead, and they will not be destroyed by the constant struggles of life. He says, notice the three verbs in verse 31, soar, run, and walk. These verbs give a vivid picture of the spiritual transformation that comes through faith. This cannot be accomplished on our own strength. It cannot be accomplished through the power of positive thinking. It can only be accomplished through faith. Through faith, we can soar high on wings like eagles. Through faith, we can run and not grow weary. Through faith, we can walk and not faint. Paul, earlier in that letter to the church at Corinth, wrote, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but we are not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We are knocked down, but we are never destroyed. So today, we're looking at this passage of Scripture from Isaiah 40, not through the lens of the power of the Lord, but we're looking at this passage of Scripture through the lens of waiting, the blessing that God gives to us of waiting on Him. Christians never graduate from the school of waiting. I don't remember where I heard that, but when I first heard it, it made me angry. I'm so sorry to tell you that, but it did. You mean I'm never going to graduate from this? No. Christians never graduate from the school of waiting. God calls even mature Christians to endure trials. And as we do so, we are reminded of the blessedness and the joy of leaning on our Father. Whether you're young or old, the Lord teaches us that it's not simply that we wait, but how we wait. I wait, more often than not, I wait with a frustrated heart and clenched fists and gritted teeth rather than with humility and hope and joy. May the Lord, in His graciousness, continue to guide and direct me and us as we learn how to wait with humility and hope and joy. We are encouraged by the Word today and the power of the Word, the Spirit of Christ in us, and confident that He will bring every single blessing to us that He has promised. And we, like Christ, have the spirit of waiting in us and perseverance. And we know that He will complete His work in us in His own timing, and that we will make it to that day. And that's the good news of the gospel. The good news of the gospel from the old covenant is that God will give strength to those who learn how to run and learn how to walk and learn how to soar by faith. The good news of the gospel today, church, is that that incredible promise is given to all of us. For those of us who know Christ as our Savior and Lord, we will learn how to run and to walk and to soar like wings on eagles. But if you don't know Christ as your Savior and Lord today, you are simply on your own. I haven't learned how to master waiting on the Lord. I have not graduated from waiting on the Lord quite yet. You can ask several people about that today if they would be happy to tell you, yeah, he struggles there. If we were to put a big whiteboard up here and I was to write down the struggles of life all over this whiteboard, addiction, trust issues, waiting on the Lord, anger, lying, and I was just to write down all of these different things, and I was just to hear you call them out. What about this one? What about this one? What about this one? We're not going to do that, because the one that you would call out, everybody would know that's the one that you would struggle with. So we're just going to let you slide on this, and I'm going to name them for you. So we got all these things up on the whiteboard. Not one person in this congregation would struggle with all of those things. None of us. But everybody in this congregation would be sitting there looking at that whiteboard going, oh yeah, I struggle with that. A good example would be if you wrote down jealousy. I don't struggle with jealousy. That doesn't mean that there are not times I'm a fallen, sinful human being. There's not times that I am jealous, but it's not my struggle. I don't struggle with it all the time. But now there are others in you that you might struggle with anger or addiction or jealousy or lying. And that is your struggle, and you just, oh, it's just always on you. Well, waiting on the Lord on the whiteboard, waiting on the Lord is one of my struggles. And I am grateful today that the Lord, because of the good news of the gospel, has not given up on me yet. And that He continues to say words to me like, Joel, you will soar. You will run. You will walk. Wait patiently on me by faith. Father, I am thankful that I'm not on my own today. Because there are those who do not know You as Savior and Lord. And that's exactly where they are. They're on their own. And I can't imagine the struggles that I have with waiting on You. And You're mine. I'm Your child, and I still struggle there because I'm a fallen, sinful human being. And I can't imagine walking through this life in this modern world without faith in Jesus. So it is our prayer today, Father, here on Mother's Day, for all of us there's anybody that doesn't know you as Savior and Lord, that they hear from the even the old covenant what it means to wait patiently on the Lord, that they will soar and that they will run, they will walk. Father, we thank you that you give us the great gift of the gospel and that you teach us every day with that gift. If there's anybody that doesn't know you as Savior and Lord today, it is our prayer that today will be the day of salvation. For those of us that know you as Savior and Lord, Father, I pray that this word from Isaiah chapter 40 has been a word that has lifted us to new heights, that we know the joy of celebrating God the Father in us, and that it is a word of encouragement and truth. Thank you, Father, for that word today. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Come as you are is our invitation. If you've never trusted Christ, you've heard the gospel, even from the old covenant. If you need to come and make that public today, we encourage you to do that. If you need to come and join our church, if you need to come and pray, whatever the Lord leads you to do, do that as we stand and as we sing.
Come out of silence from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, oh sinner, come heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, face, oh wanderer, come home. You're not too far, so lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are.
There's hope for the hopeless and all those who stray. Come sit at the table, come taste the grace. There's rest for the weary, rest that endures. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can cure. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can cure. Lay down your burdens, lay down your shame,
lay down your shame.
All who are broken, lift up your face, oh wanderer, come home. You're not too so lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are, come as you are, come as you are.
Please, real quickly, if you'll just be seated, we'll go over just a few little quick announcements before we head to Sunday school. What we got first, Felicia? Vacation Bible School, Kids Camp, all of these things that are coming up. End of May, Kids Camp. June 2nd is our VBS. See Micah, the display out here in front of the library with all the Vacation Bible School, and sign up. So if you don't know exactly what you're doing there, just see Micah. He'll get you. Parent meeting is that May the 26th. All right, Low Country Bowl for our senior adults. May 21 in Fellowship Hall. Sign up on the old Lord's Supper table. All right. Now, this coming Wednesday night is our last full Wednesday night for the school year. So it'll be our last Wednesday night supper until middle of August. So we're going to have a cookout, hamburgers, hot dogs, like we typically do. We do really encourage you. Now, Micah finished children's ministry last Wednesday night. This Wednesday night, Anchored Adventures will be having their year-end program, graduation from 5:30 to 6, right, Kathy? That right? Here in the sanctuary. So there's going to be people running around everywhere Wednesday night, which is going to be great. Supper's from 5 to 6. But if you're part of the children's ministry, you don't have one in Anchored Adventures, and you're not going to be here, and you're on the supper list, make sure you call so we'll know about how many that we need to try to cook for on Wednesday night. All right? Ken, got anything? Warren, got anything?
Youth will continue through the summer. We will continue every Wednesday night at the Lodge, so we want to provide opportunity for our students to be in worship when they can. We know we've got weeks that we'll be off with holidays, with VBS. We plan on working that. So there will be weeks in there that we'll send out that we won't meet up there at the Lodge, but every other week that we can through the summer, we will be there in worship.
Sounds great. Happy Mom's Day. Mothers, y'all have a wonderful day of celebration. All right, let's stand and close by singing Celebrate Jesus.
Celebrate, celebrate Jesus now. Resurrection of our Lord. Celebrate Jesus. Come on and celebrate Jesus now. Celebrate Jesus. Celebrate.